Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
No bias, no spin, not now, not never. We've got real good stuff to get to today.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Starting with Mr. Scott Connor.
Yeah, I don't know that this necessarily qualifies as part of the good stuff.
Well, your commentary and analysis will be good, but the news might not be good.
All right, the news is not my fault. Monday's trade was a pretty rough trade. And the morning futures were really, really pretty good on some news from overseas that we'll talk about in a minute. And even throughout the day, it didn't get too bad until about 1 o'clock we started to sell off. And then we had a late sell-off that was really pretty dramatic. So the Dow finished on the day for Monday down 143 points at 12,411. NASDAQ down 48 points. That'll lead you to believe that there was some pressure from Apple, which there was. S&P down 17 at 1308. A lot of technicians, and when we say technicians, what we mean is people who invest based on information that they glean from charts, are eyeing the 200-day moving average of the S&P, which is 1288.
And you don't really buy into that, do you?
I think you have to pay attention to the charts because you can help, you can identify trends and you can see momentum and stuff like that. But you can't ignore
the fundamentals are what's going to play out at, when all's said and done, right?
Yeah, a true chartist doesn't care about news. They don't care about cash flows. They don't care about earnings. I'm talking about a pure chartist. But I do think that there is some validity to paying attention to charts to see, you know, direction, momentum, things like that. Gold was up $9.60, a fairly sharp sell-off on oil for Monday, down $2.67 to $81.43 a barrel.
Which is interesting because they're already talking about, OPEC's talking about reducing supply.
Well,
and so on top of that, you still see a price drop.
Yeah, that's a pretty good drop, $81.43. We have not seen oil inside of $80 a barrel in quite some time.
I'm just surprised that it actually fell with the news that OPEC is talking about cutting back the spigot.
Yeah, I think there's just so much concern about a global recession affecting demand for oil. I think that's where most of that comes from. Tens at 159, and still not too late for you to pull the trigger on your European trip as the euro was down again, almost 2 pennies at 1.248. That's a cheap euro.
That is. That you could get a lot of
silk ties.
Silk ties from Italy. Yeah, I like those ties.
But keep in mind that we're coming off of Monday's trade was coming off of the best week of the year. So when you have really good weeks, yeah, there's going to be some pullback. There's going to be some short-term profit taking and things like that. The big news over the weekend was that European zone finance ministers all got together and on Saturday said, okay, well, we're going to send 100 billion euros. That's $125 billion to shore up Spanish banks. Originally seen as really, really good news. Got the futures going pretty good. Got Asian markets on Sunday night, which just so you know, I do watch Asian markets on Sunday night. Got those things rocking pretty good Sunday night, but wasn't able to sustain that momentum. A lot of the traders were saying, well, we were looking for more like $150 billion or $200 billion, which seems a little silly to me because they can always add more later on. But that really was the big news there. And then the more that they looked at it, the more they thought, well, all this really does is kick the can down the road, which again should be no surprise to anybody because that's all any of this stuff ever does. Looking ahead, most of what is happening out of Europe now is going to be based on leading up to the elections this weekend in Greece. And I honestly think that if we get some type of an election there that is not completely to the left, meaning there is some component of the Greek people saying, all right, we have to have some austerity, I think that may be a catalyst for markets to move upward potentially for the remainder of the summer. So we'll see about that. In corporate news, Apple is having their big Worldwide Developers Conference, which sometimes is big news because they have a tendency to launch products. Every once in a while, they'll launch a product there, not every time. And this time around, they did launch the new operating system. They have a new application that's a map application. that news got Garmin, shares of Garmin trading pretty soft. I mean, really, why would anybody buy a Garmin at this point? You know, the actual map device. And then also they announced that Siri was going to integrate with Yelp and OpenTable, so they're trying to increase the integration of that Siri, which I can't make it work anyway, so it doesn't do me a lick of good.
So, but Apple's taking on Google Maps then too, right?
Yeah, we talked about that last week. So Garmin really took the brunt of this Apple Maps application. Apparently it's 3D and it's all pretty robust. And of course, it works perfectly with the Apple hardware and all that stuff.
Of course it does.
So that was, but I think investors were disappointed that that was the biggest news. Because if you and I sitting here last week said, well, we're going to get a Maps app, then certainly everybody knew it. So no real big news there.
Well, Apple was off about 1.5%. Not bad.
Yeah, that's a pretty big move, though, for them.
$9. $9, yeah.
Yep. So I think they're trading at a fair range. Looking ahead at the week, there still is some fairly significant economic news coming out, particularly since we've been talking about the possibility of more quantitative easing. We get the PPI on Wednesday, the CPI on Thursday. So those will give us some indication of inflation. Also, the Empire State Manufacturing Survey on Friday. We have some more Fed governors speaking. We have a 10-year note auction on Wednesday. So there's still plenty to keep our eyes on.
Okay, Scott. Thank you very much.
Yes,
we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Bright House Channel 49.
If you think Holland Financial is just David Holland, think again. Hi there, this is David Holland, and I'm proud to tell you that over the last 15 years, I've worked hard to build a professional, qualified, and great financial team. Holland Financial has 13 dedicated employees, including 4 certified financial planners, 3 chartered financial consultants, and our own chartered financial analyst, and a fantastic support staff. So if you're looking for financial advice you can count on, call Holland Financial at 671-7526. That's 671-7526. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And I have been giving you fantastic guests, and I'm not going to disappoint today. I have a special guest on the program, Paul Rice, local attorney here in Volusia County. Very well respected, seasoned, educated, all kinds of superlatives. You want me to keep going?
I couldn't have said it better, Dave.
There he is. Paul, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate you being on the show. As you know, I've been doing divorce practice here in Daytona Beach, Florida for quite a while, and it's always a pleasure to come on your show.
I love having you. We had Paul on about a year ago now, and so we had him come back, and I said, come on back, and we'll cut your time in half because it's a 30-minute show instead of an hour.
Even better, Dave.
Even better, but I wanted Paul to come on because we're seeing stuff in the news. We're seeing things written in the Wall Street Journal, other places, about the graying of divorce, where we're seeing this trend where more and more divorces are people that are older, or said another way, more older people are getting divorced than it used to be. And, you know, before we started the program, you had an interesting statistic that you had kind of found. Before I go, though, Paul, Paul's office is in Daytona Beach.
Yeah, 222 Seabreeze Boulevard on the beach side in Daytona Beach.
Very good. 257-1222.
Correct. Law firm of Rice and Rose. And Dave, as you know, I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I've been practicing in that area for 28 years. I'm currently
That's a long time.
I know. I still see myself as young, but I think other people see it another way. But at any rate, I'm the current chairman of the family law section for the Volusia County Bar Association. Former president of the bar, and been active in our community for quite a while with several service organizations.
You know divorce.
I know divorce. All I do.
Okay. So we're seeing this trend. What do you think about it with the older population? They're living longer and they're saying, I'm not sure I want to do this.
It's funny, Dave, when you called me about doing the show and had seen this interesting article in the Wall Street Journal about people in their 50s divorcing, it caused me to pause and think about my own practice. And I read the article you sent me. And in particular, I went back through all my cases, my existing caseload, as well as all the divorces I have done over the past 3 years. And of course, we do more than divorce. We do modifications of divorce cases, paternity cases, prenuptial agreements, but just the divorce cases. I currently have 21. And my cases are sort of larger financial cases, yeah. So I don't handle a volume of small cases. I handle a select number of larger cases. I have 21 pending divorce cases that are active. Of those 21, 14 of my clients are over 50.
Wow.
So 2/3 of my clients are over 50. And going back the past 3 years of the 54 divorce cases that I was involved in, and that includes this current active group, 30 of the 54 cases were over 50 years old. So 56%.
Yeah, so that statistic held pretty well. But what you're seeing
is it's on the increase.
Yeah, the trends that can increase. So for our listeners out there, the people that are saying, okay, I may need to get a divorce, or I'm in a divorce, or I'm wherever, this is a trend that is...
Well, just to cite a statistic from one of these articles, from a survey that had been done, was that in 1990, only 1 in 10 people who got divorced was 50 or older. And by 2009, that number was 1 in 4.
Wow.
So of all divorce cases, now 1 in 4, the parties are over 50 years old.
Okay, well, it is
the baby boomers is what it is.
Yeah, baby boomers is the reality of the world and the demographics. But so for those folks out there listening, the man or the woman who may call you, and you, I was talking to you before we started, you work almost equally with both representing men and women.
I do. We don't say we represent husbands and fathers or wives and mothers. And frankly, if you see an attorney advertising that way, that's just sort of a marketing ploy, to be honest with you.
You represent the winning side.
Every time. Okay. I may get bad facts, but I end up turning them into good facts.
Well, I think everybody...
But no, we represent men and women equally. Okay. Whoever comes in and wants our representation, we represent them zealously, whether it's the husband or the wife.
Okay, so you represent them. And in Florida, there's a pretty deliberate, specific process that needs to be followed for somebody to go through this and get divorced. It's not something you go get the forms from Walmart and you fill them out and you send them in.
Well, actually...
Or can you?
Or actually, you can go to the Supreme Court, the Florida Supreme Court website, and get family law forms. So generally, if there's no children and no real property, you can do like a little simplified divorce procedure. And they've designed it because the reality is, with the amount of financial disclosure that's now required, it's called mandatory financial disclosure in the family law rules, divorce has gotten pretty expensive. And so what's happened is a lot of times, you know, we've priced ourselves out of the range of people who make, let's say, less than $50,000 a year. I hate to say it. And so a lot of times they have to go for these pro se, which is like do-it-yourself.
I see.
Form. So it can be done, Dave, but there's a lot of pitfalls. I'll give you an example, and I don't want to get off on a tangent. These folks got a divorce. I wasn't involved in it because I was sort of picking up the pieces at the end. And they had like a sort of a low-end attorney. The wife had a low-end attorney, and the husband just, you know, represented himself. And the divorce contract called, they reached an agreement, called for them and said, you know, when the wife sells the home, the husband will get his $25,000 from the net proceeds. But it never said she had to sell the home. And so the contract says when the house sells, that's all the contract said. And so it's contract's contract.
Gotcha.
So she could live until she died and he'd never get his money. Now that's just an example of what people do when they draw up their own contract. So, you know, we ended up actually getting him out of the situation, but you know, he probably could have paid $5,000 up front and end up paying like, you know, $10,000 on the tail end to fix that situation. So there are some pitfalls.
Well, Paul's going to share more with us. We'll come back from a quick break, Paul, and we'll talk. We're talking with Paul Rice, local attorney, divorce specialist.
Exactly.
And he will share with us some more mistakes he's seen divorcing couples and individuals make. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
If you're just joining us, we've got Paul Rice in the studio with us. Thank you, Paul, for being with me again.
My pleasure, Dave.
And he's weighing in and sharing with us some of the mistakes he's seen people make. Again, doing it themselves or maybe not getting the best legal representation. I'll say that. You don't have to. It happens.
It happens
and
all
so
the time.
You and Paul specializes in divorce, been doing it for 28 years. And
exactly.
You handle on average a year how many 20 or so cases a year?
I probably handle, on average, about probably 25 to 35 divorce cases. And as I was saying at the outset, you know, as my practice has matured and as I've, you know, become board certified, I'm an expert and raised the level of my expertise, most of my cases are
larger
cases.
More complicated.
So yeah, I'm not ramming through 100 small divorce cases.
Quality, not quantity, right?
Quality, not quantity. So yeah, that's, so in other words, I'm very busy, but I spend a lot of time with each case because they generally have large estates that we're dealing with.
That makes sense. We talked before the break about some of the mistakes. With your 28 years, you've seen a lot. What are some of the mistakes you've seen people make? And you can keep them kind of just, you know, simple examples that people make when they go to get divorced, either before they file, while they're in the divorce, or after the divorce. You can pick any of those three.
Well, you know, one thing, and I have the speech with every prospective client I meet with is, you know, you're not in high school anymore. You didn't just catch your boyfriend, kissing some other girl, and therefore you make a knee-jerk reaction and file for divorce. You know, divorce is something you ought to think through, you ought to plan for, you ought to orchestrate. So, you know, don't just get mad emotionally and file for divorce. For example, you're better off trying to marshal the information about the assets before, while everyone's guards are down. Before, once you know your spouse's guard is up. Exactly. Exactly.
Ray shield, fire photon torpedoes.
Right. Okay. Now we can't penetrate. At any rate, so I try to tell them that, you know, sort of ferret out the information, marshal the documents, tax returns, bank statements, financial statements, while your spouse is unaware. I mean, it sounds sort of, you know, devious to do it that way, but reality is information disappears once.
Here's another way of saying it, and you're right, Paul, the information disappears when people get divorced and they don't, I don't have that. The person who is not aware of the finances, all they're doing is getting aware, which is what they should be already.
Exactly. Just getting it, you know, just getting informed.
So if someone's listening to the program and they're out there and say it's a woman and she's thinking of getting divorced and she's, whatever reason, doesn't matter, whatever reason, then she needs to know where everything is. She needs to pay attention. She needs, and you and I talked before the program, there's a lot of ways that if somebody thinks this is going to happen, they need to come see you before this happens. Don't say, okay, I'm ready to file today. Yeah. They need to come in and do some
divorce planning. Yes, divorce planning. Of course, unless of course your spouse has already done that to you and they file and you're on the defensive end at that point, that can happen as well.
Well, Paul's number is 257-1222. And
correct.
If you want to do that pre-divorce consultation with him, do that. And you know, divorce is like Survivor. People get blindsided all the time.
And let me tell you, Dave, when people come to my office, I just met with a gentleman this afternoon before I had this show, 58-year-old gentleman, you know, getting divorced or going to get divorced. I often tell people to wait. You know, if the timing's not right, I tell them to wait. Fortunately, I have enough business. I'm not having to, like, talk people and get a divorce. Whereas you go to some other offices, there's some lawyers out there that are starving. So, you know, the one thing I do is I actually do keep the client's best interest in mind. And this gentleman, I said, look, you know, he didn't know anything about his wife actually is the one who had the assets. I said, don't just file now and then hope you can find out later. So I often tell them to wait. You know, timing, maybe it may be a matter of the children finishing school before you want to do something. It may be a matter of a house selling, or someone's going to get, you know, the husband's,
so be strategic.
Like, be strategic. Don't, you know, go on emotions. You know, think with your head, not your heart.
So. You teach them some acting lessons on how to be nice in the meantime?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I can imagine, you know, I'm sure everyone can. Who's,
I always
listening,
say, help me to help you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, don't do something to upset your spouse either, you know. Because as a general, I always tell my clients, we're going to take the high road.
Yeah.
Initially, if we're forced to go the low road, we can go there and we can fight down the low road. But, you know, take the high road if you can. You were talking about some pitfalls. One of the things I do is when we're talking about prospectively, if my client hasn't already been sued for divorce, and we're talking about whether to do it and what to do, if there are assets there, joint assets that the spouse has access to, especially if it's the, let's say, the wife and she's a stay home, a homemaker, and the husband is the breadwinner for the family, I often tell that spouse, the wife, to go ahead and you know, before your spouse knows you're going to file, take half of the money out of the account and put it in another account in your name alone. I don't mean, don't take it and hide it and not tell, you know, tell somebody where it is, just to secure that money, because I was sharing with you a story that I'm an interesting case I'm involved in right now. Really nice lady met with me. The parties had about $1 million of assets that were in joint names and liquid assets, investments and such. And I had advised her, because even the husband was somewhat violent, had been controlling, was an older man. She was in her late 50s. He was in his mid 70s. She wanted out. You know, she was miserable. She wanted out. I said, well, you better take half the assets and put them in an account in your name alone. You know, then we'll disclose them to the court. Nothing underhanded. She felt uncomfortable doing that. Only took $100,000, and you know, against my advice, we filed for the divorce. Husband took all the money out of the accounts, put it into his corporate. I had several corporations, and now is telling the court, well, I had to use that to pay expenses, and you know, we have inventory to pay for, and now we're spending tens of thousands of dollars chasing the money that we could have just had in the account.
Wow.
So the attorney's fee bill shot up at $25,000 in the first 3 or 4 months, because I had to amend my complaint to add several Nevada corporations and LLPs that he had. And so anyways, that's an example of a mistake you don't want to make.
Crazy stuff, Paul. We have Paul Rice in our studio. 28-year attorney, local, divorce specialty, 257-1222. You can talk to Paul about your situation. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, I have Paul Rice, attorney, local guy, been here forever, 28 years doing divorce law. Rice and Rose is the firm, 257-1222.
That's correct. And just to clarify one thing, you keep referring to me as a divorce specialist.
Yeah, that's probably the wrong word.
No, that's the right word, because I am board certified in divorce and family law. Only board certified attorneys in Florida can be referred to as specialists.
Oh, so, I got it right. Good.
So even some lawyer, he may have been doing divorce for 35 years, but he never became board certified, he cannot refer to himself or be referred to as a specialist. Just to point that out.
That's good.
Dave, one last thing, you know, before we leave these graying divorces, we were talking about, if you just joined us on the show, we were talking about the fact that the rate of divorce in people 50 and over has actually doubled over the past 20 years. You know what else is really on the increase that they're having to go on a campaign to tackle? The soaring rate of sexually transmitted diseases among over 50 people. Now, that's just a funny part of my presentation, but it is true.
It's amazing.
The health department, what happens is, you know, because of the increased divorce rate in over 50s, because of like Viagra, because of dating, because of people living longer, being more active, you know, like
more exposure.
You know, 60 is a new 50, whatever the case is. That in addition to an increase in divorce rate, there's an increase in STD rate among over 50.
It goes hand in hand, so to speak.
That has nothing to do with finances, Dave. But
well, I think the thing that I was going to get to was one of the things that's interesting to me is that you see this, Paul. You see that the people, you get them divorced successfully, and they've gotten a settlement. A lot of the cases you're working with, the people, there's money involved, sometimes
exactly.
Very significant amounts.
Sure.
And the person maybe that ends up getting the settlement that you've represented, maybe they've not been involved with the finances. How big of an issue is that for that person? I mean, are they going to then keep working with the financial guy that the couple's been working with?
Definitely not. Yeah, as a general rule, you know, and let's just talk about, although convention is changing significantly as women have entered the workplace, you know, you find that, for example, in law school, more than 50% of law students are now females.
Thank God.
So convention has changed. You know, the old conventional traditional was, you know, the husband was a breadwinner, the wife was the homemaker. And before I give this explanation, in recognition that all is changing.
Sure.
But typically, you know, the old situation was the husband breadwinner, he had the relationship with the financial advisor.
And she may not have ever even met him.
They may not have even met him. Exactly. Just knows that's the guy he goes drinking with or golfs with once a week or once a month. To the contrary, we typically advise that spouse that doesn't have the relationship with the quote-unquote family broker to see an independent advisor such as Holland Financial.
Yeah,
that'd be a good choice. Unless you're already representing them, to get some independent financial advice. Because a lot of times, I mean, they don't know how to manage their money. You know, their spouse may have taken care of paying all the bills.
High percentage of, especially for women, high percentage of them will change advisors after they have gotten divorced or have been widowed. High percentage. I mean, like over 60, 70%.
Right.
Because of that, there's just not that relationship. But I think the key thing is that both after it's all done, but also at the very beginning, that they know what they've got. So that somebody like me can say, well, here's what you've got, and you need to understand the tax consequences and all of that. And then, of course, you need all that information to be able to negotiate a settlement.
Right. You may have like hidden tax consequences and assets. You know, a lot of times when you're looking at assets and trying to do the equitable distribution scheme, that is dividing up assets and liabilities in the marriage, you can't just look at, okay, here's a house and that's worth $300,000. And here's a 401k, and that's worth $300,000. Boy, those assets are equal. Well, no, they're not.
Not really.
The 401k has got some deferred tax consequences, penalties if you need to get to it, and the house may have some issues as well. So a lot of times we get financial people involved before the settlement to assess the assets and make sure we're comparing apples with apples.
Yeah, because I think that people sometimes can get themselves into some real trouble when they try to do these things on their own. They don't get the advice of an expert who can guide them. Paul is our guest, Paul Rice. He is with Rice and Rose. 28 years. That's a good run.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do it a little while longer, too. My oldest son just finished his first year in college. My daughter, my second child, is starting, both at U of F, starting college this fall. And then I have a 15-year-old son that's got 3 more years of high school. So, Dave,
you're going to be around.
I'm going to be around. The good news is I'm in great health. I've got good energy. I've got passion for the law. So, I still enjoy my job.
You can do the work.
I can do the work for money.
Yeah.
Will work for money.
Well, that's what it requires.
I'm not afraid to work.
Okay, that's good.
My occupation, I just recently learned, like last year I had high blood pressure. Well, you know what? That's an occupational hazard of a divorce lawyer. We go to court a lot. The outcome's uncertain. There's a lot of stress. You know, your clients are under a lot of stress.
It's a big responsibility.
A big responsibility. You're presenting. It's almost not like gambling, but we don't know what the judge is going to do. You know, you're presenting your case. You're fighting for your life. You're fighting for your client's life. And it's just that the not knowing, the uncertainty of the outcome, it's a lot of stress. You know, a lot of pressure for me because I end up liking my clients.
Sure.
I want to do well for them. And so you stress, you really worry about the outcome, and so it is a tough job.
Because it's real money, it's their real life, real consequences.
Yeah, typically that's what I mean. What we do is we take care of our clients' financial security, their financial future. And so, lots riding on it, whether it's alimony, whether it's dividing the assets, the house. Of course, nowadays, the house is always upside down and that's a whole other.
Well, we will have to have Paul come back and talk about his thoughts about the upside down houses. But for today, that's all the time we have. The number is 257-1222 to get a hold of Paul Rice. Thank you, Paul, for being with us.
Yeah, or you can email me at paulrice@ricerosenlaw.com.
Excellent.
Dave, thank you very much for having me.
You're always welcome, Paul.
And,
thank you.
And always consult with Holland Financial.
Thank you, sir.
Before making any major
decisions. Thank you for that
decisions.
Shameless plug. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.